Hey, what's up? It's the Film Drunk Fraudcast. Sit back, relax, and let the ear rape begin. That was one of our finger blasted. That was one of our many suggested taglines that we got. That was from Matt. Thank you. Not the Matt that we have on. We have Matt Ufford from Warm and Glow with us tonight. It's just going to be.
Hey.
Yeah. I'm sad that I had to start by saying ear rape because sadly Ben is not here to do hosting duties. Duty. So yeah, it's just me, the giant Brendan.
Hey, yo.
And Matt Ufford.
Oh, hey, I already wasted my hay.
Yeah,
sorry
you already. Oh, that was bad.
Yeah,
man,
sorry.
I didn't realize how bad we needed Ben here.
Our timing's so off. It's just. Yeah, so the on the space docket for tonight, you know, we're just going to talk some movie news, some TV news. I got some questions from the Peanut Gallery to ask Matt, and you know, lots of fun stuff. Matt, you can actually blame Matt for me having film drunk in this podcast because way back in 2007, I believe. I sent Matt the fateful email about Ken Shamrock gay journalism porn.
Well, because he was it with Leather.
Right.
He was it with Leather at the time, so it was apropos because it was sports related.
Yes, and Matt introduced me to Ryan Perry, the old Fat Penguin head honcho, and now I work in my underwear and I have a jack off couch. Many, many things.
He's got a jack off couch empire.
Yeah.
That's when you know you've made it as a blogger, when you have a jack off couch.
That's right. I don't sleep on someone else's jack off couch. I got my own.
When he got his last jack off couch, he had embroidered on it, "For when Alexander viewed his empire, he wept, for there was nothing left to conquer."
Well, we're going highbrow.
Yes.
All right. I like
it. We always go highbrow. That's... I haven't been drinking nearly enough to go lowbrow. I'm coming into this one sober. I don't know if I'm going to make it.
That's a shame. I got my first Four Loko in about 5 Frotcasts, I think.
He's got his gum.
It fucking tastes terrible.
He's got his gum on the pull tab, which is great. Like, he's going to drink. He's like, he needs gum after a Four Loko.
All right. Well, let's just start with interview questions for Matt, because, you know, a few people wanted to know some things. And,
oh, my.
Yeah. Are you ready?
I'm born ready.
Are you wearing your leather shorts?
I never take them off.
Oh, never? You're never nude?
I'm a never nude, but with like the rainbow snakeskin shorts instead of jean shorts. I think it looks a lot better.
Okay, I can see that. You know, you're stylish. From New York.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
I get it.
Oh yeah.
All right. So Jeremy wants to know why you think. I don't even know if this is true. He wants to know why you think Community is the best show on TV. And what do you think?
I don't think Community is the best show on the TV. I think when I made my best shows of 2010, I think I made Mad Men my number one. I think Community is really smart, though. Like, it's just, I don't know. You can back me up on this.
I think it's fucking underrated as hell.
Yeah, I think that's really, like, that fuels a lot of it. It's a really, I think it's kind of like I see a lot of parallels between Community and Arrested Development, and it's this crazy smart show that, like, it hasn't been bounced around NBC's lineup, but they give it a shitty 8 o'clock lineup, slot in the lineup, and it's if they do a great job of I don't know, it's kind of gay to say, but I like all the meta inside jokes that they have. Like, they do a great job of layering jokes. It's very dense like that. I like that the humor is piled on top of each other like that.
Yeah, like a humor Muslim pyramid, but with jokes.
I was actually going to say like a sweaty orgy of jokes.
Yeah.
Yes,
I was actually going to make the same joke, which shows that Vince and I probably hang out a little too much.
Yeah.
Well, I think, didn't we reference that on last week's Fraudcast? Something about,
yeah. Well, Lindy.
Lindy, yeah, yeah, with Lindy, we were talking about like a. Abu Ghraib dog pile.
Yeah, Lindy England. I did want to say that, I don't know, I don't dislike Modern Family, but for all that I hear about Modern Family and I don't hear anything about Community, it kind of pisses me off because, I don't know, I personally think Community is a lot better show. I don't dislike Modern Family, but honestly, like, other than the gay couple and Ed Harris, I could give a shit about the rest of them.
You know, I think that those two were the best network comedies to start. What was it? Fall 2009.
Yeah, I mean, pretty low bar there, but
that's very true. And the fact that, you know, I can, like, Modern Family is like a huge commercial success, and like, what, it's cool because it's like it's the first, like, it's a throwback to the old family sitcoms, where it's like, it's just, you know, 22 tight minutes every week. And, you know, I think there was great performances from Julie Bowen and Ty Burrell, is that his last name, as the mom and dad of the straight family. But I think they're both extremely good. It's hard to compare the two. Like, they're so very different, and they're made for people with different tastes.
Can we talk about the kid, not the Latin kid? He's really good. The other kid is fucking terrible. He can't walk. That kid can't walk into a room convincingly.
But he plays such like a moron that like, he plays such an idiot that like, I think he has moments.
It's like a live action Ralph Wiggum.
He's terrible. He's like that kid. I don't know if you ever saw Freaks and Geeks. First of all, I've been watching old Freaks and Geeks and Undeclared, and I think they're both wildly overrated. And I say this as like a very huge Apatow fan, but I think
I cannot agree more. I put on Freaks and Geeks. I watched it probably 2 years ago or so, or a year ago, and it's just like it's so accurate. It really captures the awkwardness of high school, but that's really it. Like, it's like, wow, hey, high school was awkward and terrible.
Yeah, wow.
And like I don't find it very funny. It's like watching my own high school years, and like, I'm like, oh, this is awful.
Yeah. Well, what I was going to say to bring it back to Modern Family was there's that one kid, I think he's on a show now. He's got the big fucking teeth and those like gross, vulgar looking lips. And he is the same type of actor as that kid from Modern Family, where he just has that fucking dopey look on his face all the time. And that's like his only thing that he does.
Absolutely.
Who do you think has the most vulgar, obscene mouth? I think Tyler Perry's mouth. There's something very vulgar about
Tyler Perry.
Yeah, he's got a very vulgar mouth.
Hold on, let me think about this one.
Oh man,
I think that kid. Like, I'm trying to think of someone who has a more vulgar mouth than that kid. You know, Steven.
It just looks like it looks like it's ready for prison rape. You know.
Yeah. You just want to, you know, fucking.
Do I ever?
Steven Tyler has a pretty vulgar mouth.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
Oh man, I've been like. Every time I write a post on the new season of American Idol, I end up like looking at a picture of Steven Tyler like for like 20 minutes, fascinated by its grotesqueness.
Yeah, we actually during the conference championship game weekend a few weeks ago, about a month ago, I guess it was. We started joking about Aerosmith, and I actually at halftime turned on my Apple TV and we pulled up the YouTube video for Love in an Elevator and just watched it. And it was just like 4 minutes of comedy.
Brendan makes fun of me, but I like that album. I was a huge Aerosmith fan.
That was the first tape I ever bought.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I think I might have bought Greatest Hits before that one. Get a Grip was in there all around the same time.
Right.
I like how for a period there, at the end of every Aerosmith song, he did that one move, which is, yaka-ko, yaka-ka-ka-ko! You just knew it was coming. It's like it was like the same thing as what's his face from Social D.
Oh yeah, Mike Ness.
Yeah, the same thing that Mike Ness does. Well, you know he's gonna do that one move. Like, yeah, Steven Tyler's gonna turn the lyric into a scream, and Mike Ness is gonna turn it into some sort of like weird note changing.
Yeah, and it just drags on. You're like, oh, that was a good song. And then it keeps going for like another 45 seconds. And you're like, Christ, just end it.
That's so true.
Yeah. You're like, oh, this is like, it's a nice, tight, you know, kind of like catchy song. And then it just keeps going and going. Stop
it. Another reader wants to know about the Marines. See, I thought he could have asked a more pointed question.
Yeah, it said, ask him about the Marines.
Yeah.
I will give the shortest version possible.
What's your rank?
I got out as a first lieutenant about 6 weeks before I was to make captain. So I'm a captain in the reserves, or I was a captain in the reserves. I now have no affiliation with the Marine Corps anymore.
Do you call your penis the captain? Is that allowed?
Yeah, made it to captain. You can call me Captain.
Okay.
Sir. Sir works.
That's it?
Yeah, no, I was 2000 to 2004 was my active duty year. So I entered into a peacetime military. And then I got to my active, after you graduate, you become an officer, you have to go through a year of schooling to get basic training and then get your specialty training. My specialty was tanks. So I went to 4 months of tank school in Fort Knox, Kentucky. And then I made it to the fleet, my active duty deployable unit, in the Mojave Desert, 29 Palms, California, in July, the end of July 2001. I'm like, this is gonna be fun. Maybe I can go to Australia with my unit. And then 9/11 happened 4 weeks later. I was like, well,
yeah, Mojave Desert, that's a fucking blast. So you were a ROTC, as you like to say, kid, correct?
Yep, ROTC. ROTC, whatever you want to call it.
Like all the way from high school?
No. I was a fucking nerd in high school, and I wanted to go to a really good school. So, because I wanted to be fuck high school. I'm going to go to a good college and have a great life. But, my family being middle class, and private school costing $1 million. I was an Air Force brat, so everybody was applying to be in ROTC programs and go to service academies. So it wasn't out of the ordinary for ROTC was oh, hey, money, sure. And the Naval ROTC program that I was in that made Navy officers and Marine Corps officers, they had this thing where you could do it for a year and have it you could do ROTC for a year and then take the money and not owe any money and then get out. And I was oh, sweet, free year of college. I'm going to do that. I'm never going to serve in the military. And then it was 30 minutes into orientation. I was getting yelled at and doing push-ups and something flipped the switch. And I was yeah, this is for me. I had my head shaved and I was it was subliminal programming and somebody just flipped the switch. It was fucked up.
Yeah. I'm kind of glad I didn't have any family that was my family was hippie, so I didn't really have any sort of exposure to military lifestyle. So it was never really an option for me because, it was it's probably something that would have appealed to me at many points.
You're an asshole and you would love shooting guns. You love the hand-to-hand combat training. You would have been a great Marine.
I'm going to remember you said that next time I'm getting criticized about something. But yeah, it's funny. I remember in high school too, it's oh, I want to go to a good school and blah, blah, blah. And now looking back, I want nothing more than to trade my nerdy college experience for going to Georgia or some state
every
school
time,
with a
every
football
time
team.
I see fucking pictures from the Arizona State underwear run. I want to fucking go back in time and kick my ass so hard.
So my dad,
just to clarify, Matt went to Northwestern and I went to UC San Diego, which I don't know a lot about Northwestern, but I feel like the nerdiness level would probably be fairly comparable.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You guys had, because it's a UC, and, I don't think that you understand, people hear, oh, San Diego, it's cool, but, you actually have a whole lot of really nerdy Asians.
I've told people this. I went to grad school at Columbia, and the people I met at Columbia were less nerdy than the people I met at UCSD, and I don't know how that works. I don't know why an Ivy League school would seem like it would be way more nerdy since, harder to get into and whatnot. But something about UCSD, man, it attracts some really off people.
Well, a lot of the UCs are much more geared towards math and science. So you get the really autistically
UCSD
nerdy people, instead of people who are there to study the classics.
Yeah.
So I think there's a slight difference there.
I have a tight-knit group of friends who are all completely insane, nihilistic drunks, and they're great. But then, when I go back and I interact with the school at large, I remember a mutual friend of Matt and I's asked me to come and do this thing at an alumni association event. Holy shit. The people that I met after that, it was fucking mind-blowing.
The cool thing, or actually the opposite of cool thing about Northwestern, in that it's the geekiest thing possible, is the spread of geekery that you get. because Northwestern is like, they've got like you've got like there's a humongous building called the Tech Building, which is like the only building that's under five stories or under six stories that's bigger than Tech Building in North America is the Pentagon. This huge scary building with like has like very few windows, and like the tech nerds all live in there. But there's also like a really acclaimed theater and music program, and like no people are fucking whack jobs like theater and music majors in college. Oh, yeah. Like
drama kids.
And then there's also like a big time like journalism school, the middle school journalism. And like, and I mean, Vince, you and I spend like half of our time making fun of the people who are career journalists.
The Blue Blazers.
So it's like you got such like a widespread of a fantastic like fucking utter nerds, and I was just like, hey, I on second thought, I really just want to go to the Marine Corps and drink a lot of beer.
Yeah, exactly.
So my family is like I come from like the quasi military family because my dad was an Air Force brat. My grandfather was a career Air Force man. So my dad actually went to join the Air Force after college, and it was like the Little Miss Sunshine thing. He didn't realize he was red green colorblind. So couldn't be a pilot. So he said,
I'm red, green, colorblind.
Yeah. So they said, forget it. Right. So when I started talking to the service academies in high school, he was like, oh yeah, you want to do that? You want to do that? And like, he was just in my ear like, oh yeah, service academy is the way to go. And then,
I laugh at Brendan because his dad made him memorize the Navy,
Phonetic alphabet. He memorized the phonetic alphabet when I was little.
Wow.
Yeah. But he was like pushing me, and I'm like, oh yeah, maybe it'd be cool to go to the Naval Academy. And then, Some bigger schools started recruiting me, and they're like, hey, why don't you come down here on a recruiting trip? And it was warm, and there was chicks walking around in tight shorts, and I was 17, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah. San Diego State for me.
Yeah, yeah. That was it. I try to not tell people where I went to school, Vince, but well.
I feel like we've said it many times before.
I think we have. Yeah. I mean, people find me on the internet now at this point. So.
Come on. You're not going to be that anonymous. Yeah. Let's be honest.
Oh, well. Go Aztecs.
We're
playing New Mexico tonight. Sixth in the nation right now.
Yeah, you lost to BYU, you dicks.
Fucking teams, we had to lose to BYU. God damn it.
To a guy named Jimmer who scored like 50 points.
Fuck that guy.
I remember I was reading an article about BYU when they came to Fresno State, and there's these two like Mormon guards, and one of the quotes in Sports Illustrated was, hey, Reed, how many mothers you got? And that was what someone was heckling him with. I thought it was kind of nice.
It's pretty highbrow for Fresno.
I know, right? Did you talk about your your war experience yet?
Oh no, here's the thing. Everybody that's like that goes to Afghanistan and Iraq now, like, and they do like, you know, the Army guys do like 12-13 month tours. The Marines usually do somewhere in the neighborhood of 7 month tours, just because of the way deployments work. And there's some like 12 month tours for Marines too. I did the initial invasion of Iraq in 2003 with my, you know, tank platoon, and it was cool because like in the I was like the one of the first vehicles over the border in the whole Marine division, and I got to like call over the radio and be like, you know, talk to my boss on the radio and be like, yep, I crossed the LD line of departure, which means like I just invaded a sovereign nation. So that was cool. I did the invasion, but it was over so quick, and then the tanks were too aggressive of a posture when we were in Baghdad.
Hmm.
So I got sent, like, my entire deployment to the Middle East was 2 months of waiting in Kuwait, 2 months in Iraq, and then like two months home on a ship from the Straits of Hormuz or whatever, Persian Gulf. Back through via two stops in Australia and Hawaii, and then that was that. So it was like I was really only quote unquote in danger for like 2 months. So I mean, I won an award and it was pretty cool. I had a couple of like scary brushes, but for the most part, like other people have had much more.
Did you choose did you choose to be like in the tank division early on, or was that just something that sort of fell?
The way the Marines work, like you, they have this weird thing, like for officers, they have this thing called quality spread, where they like you're in a class with like 200 other second lieutenants.
Brennan's mom's got a quality spread.
I was waiting for it.
Sorry, go ahead.
So like, here's how it works. You can say what you want. You rank, like, there are like 27 different choices. And for me, I put all, you know, combat arms stuff at the top. Like, I wanted to be infantry, and tanks was my second choice. And, like, you know, scout sniper, you know, like all this, you know, I basically just wanted to shoot stuff and, like, lead yeah. Marines. And so tanks my second choice. And just because I was lucky the way that they had this quality spread thing, it's not like I was at the top of my class or anything. Not at all. But yeah, I just got lucky. So I said what I wanted, and then they try to give you what you want, but then really what it comes down to, what the Marine Corps wants.
Yeah. Well, you want to talk about Steven Seagal now, just to switch gears?
Fuck yeah.
Or maybe not even switching gears. I guess he is pretty, like, militaristic when you think about it.
Well, no, like, I mean, I feel
tanks,
like
he invented tanks.
Whereas Matt's talking about invading a sovereign nation, it's more like Steven Seagal. He's always the one who's, like, living the right way, and, like, he's infringed upon, and he's left with no choice.
Well, he doesn't even think about sovereign nations because he doesn't keep track of space and time very well.
It's true.
No, he does not.
I mean, he could be, like, in a space.
Well, apparently Matt was looking for Bobby Lupo when he was in Iraq, so I think that's a good enough segue.
Oh, God. Why didn't I have that teed up?
Vince?
I know.
Come
I wish
on.
I did.
They were Bobby Lupo was hidden right next to the weapons of mass destruction.
Exactly.
Which one of you did Bobby Lupo? Hey.
So he's got
the WMDs?
He's got a new show coming out. What's the deal with that? Maricopa County.
It's going to be another. It's like he's already done two seasons of Steven Seagal Lawman, but that was when he was in the Louisiana County, not far from New Orleans or part of New Orleans. I'm not quite sure how it works. But then, you know, there was a
unique sexual arousal or unique physiological response.
That's kind of bullshit because he never got convicted of anything on that.
No, the sex slave that he had ended up settling the lawsuit out of court or dropping the lawsuit. I don't know, but that was enough for them to kick him out. I'm like, we don't want you here. So yeah, because Joe Arpaio, I think is his name, is this real dickhead, hard ass sheriff.
He makes
in Arizona.
He makes the prisoners wear pink underwear just to fuck with him.
That's gonna keep them from butt fucking each other.
and cuts down, like, basically he is like probably the ACLU's like number one enemy. Yeah. Like, he's like Bill of Rights, Constitution, fuck you, I'm running this town. He's like the 78-year-old dude who's been like sheriff for a long ass time. And, like,
man, they need to get.
I remember
they should get Robert Evans to produce that show just to have. Like a supernova of blowhardism between him, Steven Seagal, and like Robert Evans.
That would be amazing. Actually, those three together, I would watch that reality show. That would be fantastic.
Yeah. I actually hadn't seen The Kid Stays in the Picture until like about last week when I finally watched it. And you haven't seen it, Brendan?
No.
He's just epic. Epic Hollywood blowhard. And would fit in. The name Robert Evans gets ink. And then you got Steven.
Oh, yeah, so I don't know what the hell. My my first time being familiar with Arpaio was, like, I went down to Super Bowl week when Phoenix hosted the Super Bowl a couple years back, and... It was like.
Was that when Ryan told you could stay with him, and then it didn't come? He didn't come through.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, yeah, you can stay at my house. And I'm like, actually. But anyway, there was like billboards up, like basically like Joseph Arpaio being like, don't even think about drinking driving. Like, I will fuck you in the ass. Just like, so I was like, all right, I won't have a beer before driving at all.
I will pull down your pink underwear and bend your legs past your ears like a single mother.
He's been on my radar for a while, and I know because I remember hearing about him on Hard Copy.
That's you would watch Hard Copy.
Tonight,
and,
I would.
Mr. Seagal, thank you very much for the time, first and foremost. Anderson, after the fight, said that he learned that front kick to the face from you.
Right.
Where'd you teach that? Where'd you learn that?
Where did I learn it? Well, I learned it, sort of a variation of that in Japan probably 30, 40 years ago, and I've been perfecting it all these years. It's not exactly karate. It's just something that I created that's a little bit different than I thought.
And I know we've played this before, but I don't care. Like, I can't get enough of it.
I don't know. I already said that. Now you go and...
I feel like he is actually, like, I envision him actually spending 30 consecutive years just working on front kicks. Like, I did nothing for 30 to 40 years.
Just eating a ham sandwich and front kicking shit. Yeah.
It's the opening montage to his next movie.
He's just like, he's got a sandwich in one hand. He's like, front kick.
Yeah.
I read this story about these guys that were shooting porn. And there's this one porn star. They were sitting behind the monitor, and they were watching the close up of just like his dick going in this chick. And there was like this weird grainy shit going in front of the camera, and they couldn't figure out what it was. And the guy looks out from behind the monitor, and the guy who's fucking this chick is actually eating a sandwich, and the crumbs are like falling in the camera. And they're like, dude, could you put down the sandwich? He's like, oh no, I just eat over this way. And he just like moved to the side and kept eating the sandwich while he's fucking this chick.
Vince, that's an awesome story, but you told it on a Frotcast already.
Oh, fuck you. Oh, like these people have listened to every Frotcast. Come on.
Yeah. Well, because he's sort of a natural born athlete. He has very quick hands and feet, and his kicks are good to begin with. So I started teaching him kicks that I thought he could really hurt people with. And in practice, he was knocking people out with body shots. At that point, I knew he was going to start to really make these kicks, work.
Have you ever seen someone in a combat sports match knock someone out with that kick?
Well, nobody knows the kick. I'm teaching it to Machida.
That's my favorite part.
Machida Kun.
What do you think you would have to do to get Steven Seagal excited?
Well, ask his sex slave.
Ooh.
that's his unique physiological reaction to arousal.
A front kick.
Gets excited.
A front kick to the face.
I think he yells Bobby Lupo at the point of orgasm.
He hits the chick in the head with a pool ball.
I bet his dick just looks like a sock with a pool ball in it. In the end, he just hits her with it.
It's like an old man's nose on the end.
Like Nixon.
Like Ted Kennedy.
Oh, they were rivals, but boy, they had similar noses.
Yep.
All right, so what else we got?
This broadcast is going great.
It is. Oh, one of the things I wanted to talk about, which is very disappointing to me, is that Tonya Harding, I don't know if you guys remember back to the Tonya Harding Fantasies episode.
Oh, yeah.
I went to the wanted to go back tonight to, check out some more Tonya Harding fantasy stories. There's 15,000 Tonya Harding fantasy stories while there. And I go back there. Now there's just a picture of her and her husband. And there's a note that says, because Tonya is now married and soon to become the mother of a little boy, it's time to retire the fantasy area. It's been more than a decade, and some of you have written eloquent, funny, enjoyable stories, but we were not surprised. Other writers can only blame a demented devil for those sick, twisted tales you wrote. It's all been fun, and we hope you enjoyed yourselves. So here's to the future, and to Tonya.
And to Tonya.
So I wanted to look back at some of the quotes from Tonya Harding fantasy section. And, I wish somebody had put up a mirror of the site. You'd think some forward-thinking person with a SpongeBob t-shirt would have put up something.
Why are you looking at me?
All right, so here's a couple of quotes from another site that aggregated them. I've often fantasized about taking her to a recently erupted volcano because I know she has to be sick of the cold. We could lay on top of cooled magma rocks and just make out until we were on fire.
Oh man.
All right. Well, I got a few more.
I can't handle it.
I was super lucky finding Tonya walking outside at 4 a.m. in the morning. I picked her up. She knew me through a friend. However, she had this little problem. She started to smoke crack and didn't want anyone to know. Another one. I would like to take Tanya to the NASA space camp.
Ooh, don't stop.
I can just imagine Matt in his leather shorts listening to this. Tanya in her high-waisted jeans and SpongeBob t-shirt in her Lamborghini Countach.
God, that's hot.
I would like to take Tanya to the NASA space camp, use the anti-gravity room to give her the most unforgettable night of her life.
These people have the worst fantasies ever. They realize that you can fantasize about hot chicks, right?
You'd think, but that's, you know, the fantasy isn't like, as real.
Like I want to keep my fantasies realistic. I don't want to think about Angelina Jolie. Like let's step down.
I just want to imagine what if I had just been in the right truck stop at the right time.
I just call it realistic goal setting.
Yeah, wasn't that Larry Flint's thing in Hustler? He wanted the women to be more attainable.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was.
Also, uglier chicks are more likely to stick their fingers in the snatch for photographers.
That's true. I mean, spread pink. You know, you can't get a prude. Do that.
No.
It's a shame.
No.
I mean, if you can, I'll pay to see the pictures. But
absolutely. Actually, probably not. I'll probably just wait till they show up on the internet.
Yeah.
What does the percentage have to be of you know, you scroll through, and I swear, you know, like every couple of days, I probably scroll through 100 naked women that I've never seen before.
There are so many naked women out there on the internet.
Is it even possible? It doesn't seem like, you know, I feel like every single day I scroll through more naked women than I could ever meet in my entire life.
Yeah, it makes you realize that, like, at this point, there's got to be some sort of novelty to it. So it's, like, got to be someone famous, because it's, like, it could be the hottest girl in the world, but if you've never heard of her, you're just like, nah. It's just like all the other naked girls, you know? So then it's like, oh, my God. It's like this girl who was on this TV show 10 years ago is hard up for cash. She got naked. I got to see it.
It's, like, it's frustrating when, and then, like, you know, your case is like Jennifer Love Hewitt when they don't get naked at their
their prime, yeah.
It's like, fuck you, Jennifer Love Hewitt. What makes you so fucking
And what
special?
Is she doing now? The fucking client list on Lifetime Network?
Yeah, now, I mean, like, she's like, fuck, I wish I would have taken Playboy's offer when I was hot. I could use that $500,000, you know?
She owes us a nude scene.
She does.
Let's face it.
She does.
I think I can't remember what show I heard Jamie Kennedy on, but, or no, someone that had dated Jennifer Love Hewitt, and man, she made me feel not bad about ever making fun of her for being fat. Let's put it that way.
What do you mean? Like, she's a total bitch?
Yeah. Like, she's basically dating this dude for, you know, publicity reasons. And I don't know. She seems wildly
speaking of lowered
vacuous.
Expectations, she was dating Jamie Kennedy for
she is
publicity?
I think she is dating Jamie Kennedy. No, it was someone else, like, who dated her when she was, like, 19 or 20 or something
Skeet
like that.
Skeet Ulrich?
That would be a power couple.
Yeah.
Who's the other guy who's not Skeet Ulrich? Who seems
Johnny Depp?
No, someone less famous. I don't know. This is gonna be like our imagined IMDb conversation from last time. We get into it too much.
Who is that guy in that show? Yeah. Hold on.
He's not Skeet Ulrich.
We're just trying to imagine what our lives as film nerds would be like in the 70s when, you know, there's no IMDb. It's just like people, just dorky guys arguing, and there was never anyone to settle it.
I totally remember that from like the 90s. Like we're still like, that was still before, you know.
Yeah, I remember doing that in like high school. And then
I started drinking, when I actually could remember shit really well.
Oh. Yeah.
I will say, I went to dinner with my girlfriend tonight, and we had this like super fabulous like gay Asian waiter. and my girlfriend was like, "Who's the guy from Star Trek?" I started laughing, but I couldn't think of George Takei. And so I was just like,
ooh,
oh,
wow.
I laughed. I was like, I got it. And then like 5 minutes later, I was like, Mr. Sulu, George Takei. You know, it's just like, it's like, I hate that feeling, that gnawing feeling of like, I know this.
Yeah, and then someone tries to take out their phone to look it up. You're like, no, I got this.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to. I want to do it without suckling on the teeth of Google. You know.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to know what the Kevin James mixed martial arts movie is going to be titled?
Well, yes. I mean,
before we find out, we should, you know, we came up with mixed martial farts.
Mixed martial farts, and also Paul Blart Mall Crow Cop.
That was a good one. Any other suggested titles? How about round and pound?
For this.
Yeah.
Come back to me in like 10 minutes and I'll think
strike
of a
strike farts.
Ultimate farting champion.
Yeah.
The title, you guys are going to groan when you hear this, but it's called Here Comes the Boom.
Yeah. Does that mean we have to resurrect POD for the soundtrack?
I didn't even remember that was POD.
Yeah.
Every day is a new day.
Wow.
All right. Who's shittier, horrible. POD or Papa Roach?
Ooh. I feel like they're one and the same.
I think POD might be worse.
Well, they're Christian.
Then they're automatically worse.
Fair enough. Well, does that make Justin Bieber bad too? Because, I mean, he's a Christian. He doesn't believe in abortion.
He sucks on his own merit.
Yeah, I mean, like he doesn't have to be Christian to suck. He just kind of basically, and if teenage girls like it, it sucks.
That's true. I don't know why the world tries to, you know, accept that as an acceptable taste. They're like, oh, well, man, maybe I'm just old. I got to get in touch with the young people. It's like, no.
Yeah, I mean, like, everything that teenage girls have ever loved, and New Kids on the Block, NSYNC, Justin Bieber, and, you know, whatever came, like, fucking Scott Baio. Like, whatever
the
teenage girls
The Bay City
loved,
Rollers.
This is a good segue, because I did a story on Fred Durst is directing a new movie with Paul Walker, and you know, the fact that the guy from Limp Bizkit is collaborating with the guy from Fast and the Furious is probably like the most obvious collaboration of all time. But it led me to look up Limp Bizkit videos, sadly, just as a research sort of thing. And
The old time worn excuse of research.
It wasn't that long ago, and it still blows my fucking mind. Like, I just want you to hear the beginning of this video. I love the beginning of this video because it's like a porno. I don't know why they did this, but there's like the weird fake acting at the beginning. I won't preface it too much. Here you go.
So what do you want to do, man?
Maybe,
they've got a lot of really funny stuff in wardrobe. I mean,
well,
I don't know if...
it's for my way. We got to shoot the video today.
Right.
I have no idea what it's going to be about. And so, if you say they got some stuff in wardrobe, maybe we go down there.
Have you guys...
Let's just go see what they got. Maybe we'll think of something.
There's like three of them. They're all wearing backwards caps, by the way.
I'll show you what they got. Oh, God, I forgot about the shitty song.
I think he raps about his hat at one point.
Yeah, he does it all the time. He's like, this red hat is gonna be...
I can't even do it. I can't do it.
It's awful. It's awful.
I remember being in like my friends' cars in high school, like driving places, and like someone had just discovered Limp Bizkit, and they're like, oh, this is awesome. And this guy comes in and he's got that pussy. He's got the most pussy sounding voice in the world. And he's like rapping about being hard. And I'm like, how high do you have to be to like this at all?
I want to rip somebody's face off.
Yeah, seriously.
I'm like a chainsaw. What?
There's nothing he says that any of his songs that wouldn't make me laugh, I feel like.
I remember I saw some performance on TV, and I think if you remember when they first came out, it had just been pussy rock for the last few years. Just everything was so lame and effeminate. And so I remember like hearing like a little bit of some song, and then I was at Tower Records like a couple days later, and I was like, oh, I think those guys rocked kind of hard. So I bought their CD.
Boo!
CD, and I drove home
And I, before I got home, I turned around and I drove back and I returned it. I've returned two CDs my whole life, and one of them is Limp Bizkit, $3 bill, y'all.
I like that one. Yeah, one of their albums is called $3 Bill, y'all, which is pretty much like, I mean, that's like a War and Peace esque title compared to Chocolate Starfish and the Hot Dog Flavored Water.
I remember that. I was like, that was like high school. I was like, that must have been, I graduated high school in 96. And I vaguely remember, I think that was the time when I was like, I think they're talking about a butt. just like the notion of what an asshole looked like was relatively new to me. I'm like, chocolate starfish, hot dog. I think I know what they're talking about here. Is anybody else?
I think I know where you're going, Shane.
Hey, what's the big idea here?
I think I'm hip to what you're driving at. One of the commenters said something like, I think I was 14 when that album came out, and I remember at 14 being like, man, this is kind of juvenile.
And now they listen to the broadcast.
Hey. God damn it, Paul Blart presents his high satire. Yeah.
Honestly, like I've been disconnected from the world of podcasts, and I'm trying to get into listening to, you know, I've listened to the last two Frotcasts now because I've unfucked my iTunes, and you know, I'm trying to listen to Comedy Death Ray, and I listened to Conan O'Brien on Jimmy Pardo's podcast last week. Never Not Funny. Is Jimmy Pardo his name?
Anyway. I know of that one. I haven't listened to it.
And I laughed a lot more at like all the Paul Blart stupidity and Lindy's hilarious and boners and log flumes. Like that killed me.
Loud sex noises.
I was to Conan O'Brien. I was like, that was funny, but I was like, you know, for like laugh out loud moments, like bring on the fart jokes, man.
Did we ever?
You heard it here first, guys. We're funnier than Conan O'Brien.
Did we ever touch on A Butt Full of Farts? I think we might have skipped over that one.
That one deserves
that one
special
was
mention.
Pretty great.
That's inspired.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I listen to a few like everybody has a podcast. Literally, like my friends from high school have their own podcast. And, you know, I mean, not to begrudge them, they're pretty funny, but like literally like every fourth or fifth person has a fucking podcast, and it's kind of hard to compete at this point, especially when we're not booking like the biggest guests in the world.
Hey, sorry. I'm right here.
Not to insult present company, but it's weird because like a lot of the ones I listen to, I enjoy Comedy Death Ray and I enjoy Marc Maron. And but the weird thing about those ones is like they have great guests, but the hosts kind of bug me a lot in both cases. I don't know if you guys have ever listened to those.
There's a lot of like, I feel like there's a lot of like lower to middle tier comedians that run podcasts, so they can book big names.
Hey.
But there's a reason that they're lower to middle tier comedians. You know, because like they're, you know, residual from the one Comedy Central special they've got like from 10 years ago just isn't bringing in the money.
Yeah.
And yeah, they don't really kill me. So.
Yeah. Before I insult anyone who might be able to help me out in the future, what say we talk about this RoboCop statue?
Fuck yes.
I love the fact that you can buy. Like, I looked up some of the houses in Detroit. And you can like literally buy a working house in Detroit for $4,000, and
oh my god!
Yeah, they were able to raise $50,000 for the RoboCop statue, and
you know it's what's so amazing about this. First of all, there's I love that it started out as a joke, like somebody joked, like somebody from like New England sent a joking tweet to the Detroit mayor, and because he responded to it and said no, not gonna happen, people are like, wait a minute,
now that
our minds have been opened up to the possibility of a RoboCop statue in Detroit, we cannot live in a world that doesn't have one.
I mean, let's be honest, it is a pretty, you know, like I've read blogs from people in Detroit who are like, oh, it's making us look bad, and you know, we could spend our money on so many better things. And it's like, yeah, I get it. You're right. But still, you can't deny like the fact that as a concept, like a RoboCop statue is fucking awesome.
Fuck that, man. I'd embrace all that. First of all, if I was Detroit, I'd embrace RoboCop because like we couldn't have anything nearly as cool. We'd have Dirty Harry, which is by far the coolest thing that we could do in San Francisco, which is awesome.
And that'd be a cool statue, too.
That would be awesome. Creep. Yeah, like him kind of in his pose with the Magnum out. Like that would be an awesome.
Drop it.
Thank you, Vince. That would be an awesome statue. Or we could have like Harold going off the cliff at Sutro Baths from Harold and Maude. I don't know. There's not too many other things. Maybe
what,
Mrs.
for San Francisco?
Maybe oh, Mrs. Doubtfire.
A, movie. A lot of them sucked.
Yeah, we got a Mrs. Doubtfire statue.
I forgot that was here. Oh, I mean the Full House. We should just have Uncle Jesse playing drums.
Yeah, he needs work, so we could. You can just do it.
Maybe Uncle Joey doing Cut It Out. Yeah. Like an animated Jesus. GIF statue.
Oh, man. He's Canada's, and they can have him. They can have him. I love my favorite parts of Full House were the episodes where Joey was doing stand-up and, like, the rest of the cast had to, like, pretend laugh. God, I can't even imagine how many takes that were. Where he's, like, doing his impression of a woodchuck.
That was I will always remember Full House. It was the moment in my childhood when I realized that some things suck. And because when you're a kid, you're like sit down and watch anything. You're like, oh, this is good. And it was like it hit me at the right age, you know, like late 80s, early 90s, when I was just like kind of entering into I can criticize things like, oh, this is fucking terrible. I probably didn't know the word fuck then. But like, I was like, oh, awful. I hate this show. The first TV show I ever hated.
Yeah, no, that was one of the first TV shows that I hated also. I was reading, I don't want to hipsterize myself, but I was reading this Jonathan Franzen essay about Peanuts today. And he was talking about being 10 years old and reading Family Circus. And this is like in the late 60s. And he's talking about how it's like 1969, he's 10 years old, and he still remembers thinking how much Peanuts sucked when he was fucking 10 in 1969. Someone just optioned Family Circus to make a fucking movie about it. This guy was fucking 10 years old in the 60s, and it was stupid then.
Dude.
Has anybody ever liked it?
Peanuts? No. I swear to God, I'm not making this up. In kindergarten, I loved Garfield. I thought Garfield was amazing.
I have Garfield.
Oh,
books.
Yeah. Oh, I loved Garfield when I was that age.
Stuck him on the windows of your car. And
yeah,
like
yeah.
That.
And I remember going.
And not because he was pissing on Ford or anything like that. Sorry, go ahead.
I remember going to the school library in kindergarten and going to like the comic section, like checking out all the Garfields. And then I remember checking out this big ass book of Peanuts and going like, sweet, look at all these comics. I got all these comics to read. And I took it home, and I was like, this sucks.
You're switching gears. You're switching gears. I was talking about Family Circus.
You said Peanuts.
Well, he was talking about how he liked Peanuts.
Oh, I hated Peanuts.
Well, all right. Yeah, fair enough. I do, too. I still do. But, yeah, part of the point of the story was apparently, like, back in the day it was good, and then he sort of started leaning on Woodstock and all this other, like, crappy stuff, and it became, like, a cute sort of greeting card.
When Peanuts originated, it was like the first comic to like tap into like misfortune, like Charlie Brown's misfortune, and tap into that for humor. It turned the world of comics on its head, and then it went on for like 70 years too long.
yeah. I mean, it went on a really long time.
But I mean, just sort of like in the kids are stupid category, like there's a time when like. I was young and like I was like, oh, Sunday comics, fucking Colors. Like there aren't Colors the rest of the week, and I'm like Colors, and they're like, oh, look, it's one of the ones where Jeffy went around and like let me follow the dots to see where Jeffy went. And like I liked that shit, you know. I didn't know it was funny. Like it wasn't funny, but I was like, oh, I can follow like Jeffy went into a tree before going home.
It was like a Where's Waldo.
I just wonder who they're aiming the Family Circus movie at, because
idiots. Idiots and Christians?
No, but man, like
the Duggar family.
I mean, if you can be 10 years old in the '60s and still hate it, like you're setting the bar pretty low. You got to be like, all right, so he's gonna be 7 years old and in an Amish family. And this is our target audience. Who's gonna play Jeffy? I hope it's Jaden Smith.
Is the kid from Jerry Maguire, is he grown up yet?
Yeah, he's like 27.
Oh, brutal. He totally missed his window, by the way. He had that cuteness window, and like you could tell his parents were like holding out. He was in like that one movie where little Bow Wow got like the magic sneakers that let him be Michael Jordan. And like that was it. Like if I was his agent or his parents, man, I would milk that for everything. It'd be like the new face of every product aimed at children.
This is how he's going to come back. That's Jonathan Lipnicki, by the way.
Okay.
All right, I think Jonathan Lipnicki and Adrian Palicki from recently cast Wonder Woman.
Yes, they need
to get married, and then she can be Adrian Lipnicki Palicki,
and they can call them the Sticky Icky Ickies.
And wait, does she have big tits? Because I mean, that seems like a requirement for Wonder Woman.
Yeah, she was uber hot in Friday Night Lights, and she's gonna be. I think she's going to be just fine as Wonder Woman. I'm looking forward to it.
Not to sound misogynistic. I mean, normally we have Lindy here to make me sound less like a misogynist. But, what's
women voting? What's that all about?
What is that all about? I guess Lake Bell was campaigning for the role. I don't know if you guys know about her, but.
Nah, Lake Bell was, she was in that fucking shitty time traveling mailbox movie with Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock.
Ooh, the Lake House.
She's funny though. She's in Children's Hospital, and
she is.
I will say that she has a very nice rack. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Wait, this is a movie podcast. I can talk about the fucking Lake House. That movie was so hilariously stupid.
Please talk about Lake House.
I never saw it, but I just the premise. I was like, "Wait, is this for real?"
I feel like we never got into my RoboCop soundboard.
Yeah, welcome to the
we'll get into that in a second. But basically, just to run down to it, like
you are under arrest.
Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock communicate via this mailbox at this like house by on a lake. There's like,
would you call it a lake house?
It's called the Lake House.
Right? The house on the lake, would you call it a lake house?
Keep him talking.
I guess so.
Sorry, keep going.
That's all right. No, I appreciate it being derailed. That's totally worth it. but yeah, they communicate via a mailbox. They send letters to each other, and they're like living 2 years apart. Like the mailbox.
It's only
like
2 years? I thought it was like 50 or something.
No, it's 2 years apart, and they'll be like, oh, how come I have never run into you, you know? Like, they're getting letters from, like, 2 years in the past. Just, like, it's completely nonsensical. Like, there's no way to, like, bridge
the space-time continuum?
No way to suspend your disbelief. Like, unless, I bet Steven Seagal loved it.
I like this girl, but she lives in 2009.
She doesn't do so good with space-time either.
I live in Arizona. I live in Arizona, and she lives in 2009.
So, spoiler alert: how does it resolve?
They like one of them waits 2 years.
Wait, but aren't they on concurrent timelines?
Yeah. Well, they just waited 2 years.
Does one freeze time so that the other one can catch up? What? But if he waits 2 years, then that's 2 years in his timeline.
It's the same world. Like the space is the same, but the time is different.
But one of them would have to stop. The one in the future would have to stop time.
Dude, I don't know, man. Like, you know, I watched it a long time ago.
All right. One of the things I wanted to go back to on the RoboCop story is, I guess one of the donations was $25,000 from this guy Peter Hotlet, who's from San Francisco, who runs Omni Consumer Products, which if you look up. Is actually the company in RoboCop,
it was OCP.
Yeah.
They privatized the police.
Yeah, exactly. And so I looked it up, and I guess there's this guy who lives in San Francisco, and this is from his Wikipedia page. It says his company creates real-world versions of certain products created in movies, and he's done like a Brondo beverage from Idiocracy, and he's got license to produce and market Sex Panther, the cologne from Anchorman.
Wow.
And
this guy's awesome.
Yeah, and so he gave $25,000. He must be real. I don't know where he gets his money from, but he gave $25,000 to
he sold a bunch of ED 209s to the Chinese.
Yeah. And he was one of the main backers. I don't know. Is that a conflict of interest, not being from the city? And
no, it's actually kind of giving me like an Inception little Blom boner. The fact that his company is like the fact that he brings things from movies into fruition, and his company is in the movie that he's trying to bring into fruition. I'm confused by how the strings and how it works. I couldn't possibly draw a Venn diagram of this,
so
but
meta.
I think it sounds really cool.
Oh man, this movie's so awesome! Can we just end the podcast and watch it now? Oh man, this movie's so fucking rad.
God, but tell me, how badly do they need an ED-209 statue?
Oh my god. They could be one and the same. Or not one and the same, they could be like complementary. Man, that movie. Paul Verhoeven. Can we talk about Paul Verhoeven for a minute? That guy's a genius.
He is, and yet also a moron.
Yeah, he's like a savant.
I don't like him for Starship Troopers, and I know that.
I agree. I don't get what happened. What year was it when everybody decided that Starship Troopers was actually good?
I think it came out in 1997, so sometime around there.
It was like, okay, I got it. Denise Richards is pretty, and I like the redheaded chick with the chosen boobs. That's fantastic. But like Starship Troopers was actually like. It's a really terrific sci-fi book by Robert Heinlein.
Yeah,
and like it raises some really cool issues. Like,
it's like a crazy allegory, isn't it?
In that world, it's like people have to do federal service in order to earn the right to vote, and so like people like and it talks about like how you know like in the old days, like basically the United States today, like people took their right to vote as a they took it for granted, and so in the new regime, you have to do federal service, and like if you don't join like the military, like the Space Marines or whatever, then like you have to do like shit work in Antarctica for 3 years, and like once you do that, then you're an appropriate citizen, and you get the right to vote. I mean, you don't have to be a citizen, but like it's if you want to like you know have a say in how the government works, you got to do some federal service, do some hard time, and it's just like it's a really really cool. It presents like so many cool socio and political issues, and then Paul Verhoeven's like, oh, like make it like propaganda.
Yeah, and from that we got a movie with Casper Van Dien that looked like fucking Saved by the Bell was turned into a sci-fi movie.
Yeah,
it was a real shame. Like, and it's a freaking great book. I recommend it to anybody who didn't enjoy the movie.
Along the lines of our family circus discussion from a few minutes ago, I never read the book, but I definitely remember being, you know, I think I was 16 or 15 when it came out, and I remember seeing the trailers and being like, whoa, this movie's going to be fucking awesome. And then we went to see it, and we're like, wow, that was fucking lame and juvenile and dumb. And now, like... I feel like every time I go on the internet, everyone's like, oh, man, Starship Troopers, that was an awesome movie.
They're all wrong. All of them.
What?
Wrong.
I don't get it.
I liked it.
Someone on the internet is wrong.
You liked it? What did you like about it?
It was stupid. It was so very
No, it's stupid. All right, fair enough. Yeah. Like, I can respect that it's stupid and fun, but, like, people are seriously on the internet are seriously treating it like it was a...
Yeah. I mean, I do think that if I had read the book, I might feel differently about it. I remember, like, when the movie Friday Night Lights came out. And everyone's like, that was awesome. And I was like, that was the biggest piece of shit ever. And like, if you've read the book, there's no possible way you could like that movie.
Yeah.
You know? And so I'm sure if I read Starship Troopers, I'd be like, yeah, the movie's fucking stupid. But I don't know. Anything Verhoeven does, I love the over-the-top gore that he does. His movies are just so nihilistic
like
and violent.
I did like the fact that there was like nudity and like a guy getting his head blown off. And then everything else was such like cookie cutter Saturday morning television weirdness.
True. It looked like it should have been like a movie for kids, the way it was shot and like the way it looked, and then like all of a sudden like people's heads get blown off.
I feel so bad for Casper Van Dien, because that guy like had to think like, oh, this is my big break, and for like 2 years there it was like, all right, this guy's gonna be like the next big thing, and it was like, no, you get to be a bit player at Sex and the City, and that's all you're gonna do. All right, speaking of movies that everybody thinks is good, Matt, which of the Oscar Best Picture nominees have you seen?
Okay, hold on. Let me pull up the list of 10 here.
What are they?
Maybe you can go through them.
All right, we got The Fighter. We got The King's Speech.
The Spider. Oh, The Fighter.
Fighter.
Like The Spider.
Winner's Bone. Toy Story 3.
Okay, I've seen. I haven't seen The Fighter. I've seen
Inception. Social Network. 127 Hours.
Exit Through the Gift Shop.
No.
Set up? No, no. What's Banksy up for then?
Best documentary feature.
Oh, all right. Oh, yeah, because best film has to be.
Have you seen The King's Speech yet?
I have.
All right. What did you think of that?
And I liked it, but you're absolutely right. Like your criticisms of it, like just being like, you know, like Oscar, it's definitely like, it was like, it's like Oscar movie. It's like, who are those jackasses that make like funny movies and
Seltzer
stuff like
and
that?
Freebird.
It's like they made Oscar movies.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, all right, I get it. The acting is good, and it's kind of enjoyable because it's like about friendship and, you know, movies that are about like friendship. It's like Cedar Rapids is a very like friendship movie, and it's fucking fantastic. Like, I can't recommend that movie enough. But I don't know, man. Like, I was trying. Granted, I was a little tired when I started watching it, but goddamn, it was like every single plot point. I was like, I knew this from the trailer, and this is just like the most mind-numbingly cliche fucking move that this movie could make right now.
I never saw it.
You know,
have you seen the trailer?
I allowed myself to just enjoy the performances, and I thought I enjoyed it. I think it's a good movie. I don't think, like, for my money, I finally saw Winter's Bone like 3 weeks ago, and that movie was fucking righteous. I fucking dug that movie.
I object to the fact that they're even in the same category.
What I love about that movie is like it transports you into that world. Like, I, as someone who has spent a fair amount of time in you know, Southern Illinois, the Ozarks, Kentucky, I've been close enough to places like that where it's like, holy shit, they are knee deep in white trash. Holy crap. Like, and it's just like the whole sense of foreboding, the feel of that movie is fucking fantastic.
Yeah, I feel bad because I've recommended that movie up and down, and like I'll occasionally get shit for recommending that movie because I don't know, people are expecting like some crazy like plot twisty movie like with all sorts of stuff happening. I said from the beginning, it's like, you know, it's a slow burn movie. It's like it puts you,
oh man,
it's a tone, you know, it's a tonal movie, you know, and it's like you just feel like you're in the fucking Ozarks and there's people named Thump and Teardrop and they're gonna beat your ass if you touch their meth lab and everything, and I just feel like that's so much more valuable than a fucking movie that I know I've seen The King's Speech like 20 times before.
Yeah, I guess I agree.
I mean, you can say it's great and whatnot, but fucking, I mean, goddamn, like every single, there is no cliche left unturned by that movie.
Like Dead Poets Society and Finding Forrester.
Let's go down the list. The ones I have not seen, I haven't seen The Fighter, but I'll see that before the Oscars.
I haven't seen
127 Hours.
How about The Kids Are All Right?
And I've not seen The Kids Are All Right.
Because the three movies I want to complain about that are on the list are The Kids Are All Right, 127 Hours, and The King's Speech.
Uh-oh, old man Mancini's getting his complaining pants on.
Yeah, pretty much.
I had
a Four Loko, and now I have issues with things.
I'm stuck on caps lock.
Yeah. But you've been bitching about those for months.
Yeah, it's true.
I just saw Toy Story 3 two nights ago, and I cried like a little girl.
Oh my God.
Oh, that was brutal. Fucking Pixar, man. Every time. They just, like, stab my heart and, like, fucking...
My position is that Toy Story 3 is superior to Up just because Up, like, within the first 5 minutes, it was like, we're trying to make you cry, whereas, like, Toy Story 3 came to it gradually, and it felt, like, so much more organic. And that fucking scene where they're, like, going into the melter or whatever.
And they all just hold hands?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's so good. I feel like that might be the best scene of any movie that came out this year.
I didn't see Toy Story 3, but I saw Up on a plane to Hawaii sitting next to my dad.
Yeah.
And I'm like crying at the beginning. And he's like, are you crying? I'm like, no. No, Dad.
See, when I saw Up, I'd already heard about the first 10 minutes. And I was like, I went in there. I was like, I am not going to cry during the first 10 minutes. I'm not going to cry. And I did it, held it together. Like I was like moist eyed, but I didn't cry. And I was like, yeah, fuck you up. And then like at the end of the movie, they have the shot of like the house on top of the waterfall. And I was like, oh, like, fuckers, you got me.
Yeah, I don't know. There was something about me that just objected at a deep level. I was like, you're trying so hard to make me cry. Fuck you.
Spite is like the most powerful force in Vince's body.
It really is. Like half the things I've ever accomplished in life. It's like, yeah.
The most powerful motivator for Vince is spite.
I'll take this water bottle. It's mine now. I keep it.
The water jug. Oh, that story never gets old.
That was, I mean, I wish I had better firing stories. It's just that, like, by that time, I'd already been fired 4 or 5 times. So I was like, all right, I know that, you, like, when you first get fired the first few times, you're like, oh, man, this is going to go on my permanent record. And I'm never going to be able to tell anyone about this job ever again. But then by, like, the 3rd or 4th time you get fired, you're like, all right, well, I'm going to tell you what I always thought of you. So not only did I do that, she's like, all right, we got to get rid of you. I'm like, well, let me tell you all the reasons. Now that you made me close the door behind me to come into your office that you could tell me I'm fired, I'm going to make you listen to all the reasons that I didn't like working for you. And then, yeah, and then I stole the water bottle on the way out.
I did that too, but I'm big, so they called security.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun. They didn't call security because when I did that, it was at a place where someone had written an obscene message about the CEO with their own feces on the wall of the bathroom.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So.
Well, how do you know? Wait. How do they know it was written by the same person whose crap it was? maybe it was somebody else's feces.
Like somebody stole that person's crap and wrote a message with him to frame him?
Maybe somebody left a floater.
There was a Duke in the toilet, so someone picked it up and wrote with it, hoping they'd do like a DNA sample and then like get that person.
This is the perfect crime.
It's brilliant. Really.
It's the perfect crime.
He thought as he wrote a message out.
In someone else's, with someone else's shit.
Yeah. You suck, love Barbara. Because I'm not Barbara, and this is Barbara's shit. They'll never figure it out.
What if it was actually someone else's shit? It wasn't even Barbara's shit. So now there's 3 parties involved.
So
now there's 3. This is multiple layers. It's like a Raymond Chandler novel.
You could just see, what's his name? From CSI Miami.
Oh, David Carradine.
You could just see Horatio Caine coming in there.
Looks like we'll never get the straight poop. Yeah!
Soaking. This is the worst case I've ever worked on.
Do I have enough for residuals yet to quit?
Looks like somebody got their hands dirty.
All right. Line off. You go, Vince.
No, you can't put me on the spot.
Looks like we'll have to make doo-doo. That was a stretch.
You know, as someone who's like I've watched like the whole 7 minutes of like endless Caruso one-liners on YouTube. It's like my favorite YouTube video ever. And now that I'm like I occasionally try to replicate like the Caruso thing, and it's actually like all the stuff that's like in the cartoon, the meme, it's actually way wittier than the writing on CSI Miami. Yeah. Like the stuff that Caruso does, it's like the writing form is like so bland. Like
right.
his one-liners aren't even very good. It's just him taking off and putting on his sunglasses. Thank you.
Sorry, I had an idiot in there.
And so it's like it's actually a challenge to like actually make them like dumb enough, because otherwise like you're like, ooh, that's clever. Oh, wait, that's too clever to be CSI Miami. Right. Yeah!
One night I just got really drunk in the last part of the fire broadcast was just me like playing that and Arnold Schwarzenegger clips.
And the Brom too.
Yeah.
That was a successful one, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big
so
success.
It was a dark day for broadcasting.
Huge success. Man, I wish you could see the faces that like, I got, like, 5 Fred Durst videos lined up in a row. And you could just see, like, the faces as a flip book. Like, one, He's like looking seriously into the mic.
He's like, well, I'll do like a sound effect for each one. So the first one's like, what's he doing the first one? I think he's like, yeah. And then this one, he's like, yeah.
And the next one, he's got to start a puffy starter jacket on, and he's got his mouth wide open and his arms spread.
It's right about the part in Nookie, where, like right before the chorus comes in. And then what's this one? Break stuff? This one's like, huh? And then what's this? My generation. Wow. Is that a Who cover? My generation? This
no,
like,
it's not a Who cover.
Okay. Oh.
Wow, if only we could fly.
Oh.
Whenever anybody wants to like look back nostalgically at the late 90s, I just play all this.
Jesus Christ.
The 90s, I can't stand the nostalgia for the 90s. The 90s were an ugly, ugly time. Like, it's, and people who are like, oh yeah, 90210 and Saved by the Bell. And like, look at what they're wearing. Like, it's bad. Like, it's not good.
The jean shorts with the little lace that came out the bottom. Remember that?
Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah, like the early 90s. I mean,
but the early 90s are a fucking paradise compared to the late 90s.
Fashion-wise, no.
Music-wise.
Oh, music-wise, yes. Well.
Can you feel it? Oh. Vince, you realize that like it's 3 hours later where I am. I have to go to sleep.
Am I just getting you too hyped to go to bed?
No. I'm gonna have like the most boring nightmares ever.
I'm gonna break something, Vince.
I can't get over it. Like, once I started watching him, I was just fascinated by him. I was just fascinated by how anyone could take him seriously.
It's like
at all.
Fucking ape in a Cincinnati Reds cap.
And he's from Florida. He lived in fucking Jacksonville.
Shocking.
Yeah, that was pretty much, I think that's what you could say about the late 90s. It was like the Floridization of America.
It was the year that Florida broke.
For like two or like from like 98 to 2000, no, maybe like 99 to 2002 or 3, we were just like under the influence of Florida, like the entire country. We had fucking Korn and Limp Bizkit.
Marilyn Manson.
And Papa Roach and... Marilyn Manson is like by far the best of those.
Papa
bands.
Roach and Korn are from Southern California.
Same shit.
Korn's from Bakersfield, which is like Florida annex.
Yeah, exactly, it is. Yeah.
Yeah, you go 100 miles inland anywhere in Cal, or not even that much. You go 50 miles inland anywhere in California, and you're not in a good place.
Oh yeah, I grew up there. Yeah, and I'll tell you this. I mean. Granted, I grew up in Fresno, but I'll take Fresno over Riverside or Bakersfield.
Oh, Riverside, man. There's all those girls with like the black hair on top and the blonde hair underneath.
Yeah, the skunk hair. It's skunk hair girls and flat bill guys with the Fox racing shoes.
Yeah, big white raised trucks.
There's a lot of people wearing Fox equipment.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was Fox guys, and now it's Tommy Tapouts.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I feel like Tap out would have no market share if it were not for the Inland Empire.
You don't understand. Like where I lived in California was like an hour and a half up into the Mojave Desert, and like Riverside was where my Marines would speed down and marry those pieces of trash because those were like the closest like single girls that they could find.
Was it a lot like this?
That was their wedding song.
All,
I got all misty.
All, the time that I was there, 2001 to 2004, and yes, enlisted Marines have like you have no idea how many times I heard "Let the Bodies Hit the Floor."
Oh God.
Yeah.
Oh, I heard it
so many times.
I heard it a billion times too. I heard that.
It's not even funny.
And I will never forgive my fucking high school friends for this, but. Man, if I had a nickel for every time I heard goddamn Incubus in a car, like on the way to something, like against my will, holy shit, I would have so much money. I hate them so much. Oh, they're so terrible.
They suck so bad.
Brendan's leaned back in a chair. While I'm laughing, Brendan's literally leaned back in a chair with the back of his palm on his forehead.
Yeah, I look like a woman from like a 30s propaganda poster, like fainting from shock.
But if you live through the Incubus era in Fresno, oh my God, there was not a single person besides me that was not into Incubus in like 1999.
Oh, God. What was the song?
Were they from San Diego too?
No, they're from L.A.
Yeah.
What was the worst?
His dad's an actor. I think that's why he's so handsome. Song?
I'm counting UFOs. I signal them with my lighter.
Yeah. What does he say? The sky is like a backlit canopy with poles punched in it.
What?
Yeah.
Incubus.
Holes punched in. Remember when you couldn't have a song that didn't have DJ scratching in it?
Yeah.
It was just standard.
Speaking of which, how about
Sugar Ray? Fucking
The King of
Smash Mouth. They it crossed all genres. Everybody had to have a DJ scratch
how about,
in it.
How about Butterfly by Crazy Town? You my butterfly, sugar, baby.
Seeing that guy on Celebrity, did you ever watch Celebrity Rehab when he was on there?
Yeah, what was his name?
Shifty Shell Shock.
DJ Shifty Shell Shock.
What was that Saturday Night Live skit where there's a girl like trying to go to bed and like the guys from some band came
Smash
out
Mouth.
And started like
yeah the guy from yeah. Smash Mouth. Somebody once sketch. Told me the world is gonna roll me. It was like that's like probably the best the funniest thing that Bobby Moynihan ever did.
Is it? I never saw that sketch. Is it the same sense when the kids in bed and all the baseball players? There's like 1,000 baseball players in his closet.
I don't remember that one.
You don't remember? It was like Chris Kattan was a little kid, and then like he's like, you know, he's like, oh, you know, is like his daddy coming back or like something like that, you know, like or is maybe like, oh God, who's that guy? He played third base for the Phillies.
Mike Schmidt.
No, newer guy. This is like when Kattan was in Saturday Night Live. He was playing
Lenny
at the
Dykstra.
Time. No, he was a center
John
fielder.
Kruk.
I forget his name, but anyway, so like he comes out and it's like everyone like claps because there's like a celebrity on Saturday Night Live, and then they're like, oh really? Like can all my dreams come true? And he goes, yeah, just ask, you know. And then like the next guy, you know, just ask Bernie, what's his name? Bernie Williams, you know. And then like he comes out and then he's like, yeah, ask Paul O'Neill. And then it's just, there's like 50 kids in his closet.
Yeah,
is that the same thing?
No, it was like
man, that was like the worst 4.5 minutes of podcasting in history.
He was basically like the Kool-Aid man, where it was like they'd be hanging out, and all of a sudden, like Smash Mouth burst into all. Somebody once told me the world is good. He was just singing it real bad.
Guy Fieri and Smash Mouth with the backing band.
Yeah. Hey, what's up, douchebag?
Hey, oh, look who's here.
Hey, I didn't realize it was just a 2-man fraud.
No, it's 3-man. We got Matt on the line.
Oh,
we're talking Limp Bizkit. You want some of it? Oh, you don't have any headphones.
It's cool. We'll rock out.
All right. Just a short aside here. Have you ever noticed that like half of Limp Bizkit's lyrics are references to other songs? It's like, you know where you are? You're in the jungle. It's like, all right, you got that from Guns N' Roses. And then like he referenced the fucking Eve 6 song like,
oh, yeah. She put my tender heart in a blender and still I surrendered like a chump. Hey.
Oh, my God.
You guys know way too much about Limp Bizkit.
You couldn't escape it for like 3 or 4 years. You absolutely could not escape. Ben, you liked Limp Bizkit, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
You son of a bitch. I knew we'd find someone because it was like 90% of my friends at one point in my life.
They had 3 good albums.
No, they did not.
Yes, they did.
They did not have a single good song.
Significant Other, and the one after that, and the one after that.
What about this one?
Yeah, it's a good song.
Please stop playing the songs. Please stop.
Am I wrong for being sort of fascinated by it?
You're going to leave Matt with no choice but to bloop out.
Yeah, I'm getting close.
They're gonna be like, oh, another ex-Marine committed suicide, and really it was all Limp Bizkit's fault.
Was it PTSD? No, it was LBZKT.
$3 bill, y'all.
Choked himself on another $3 bill.
Yeah, exactly. He fucking choked on a hot dog flavored water.
His suicide note said, "It's just one of those days. It's all about the he said she said bullshit."
Yeah, it's sort of like corporate speak. Just one of those days, man. It's all about that he said, she said bullshit, you know?
Limp Bizkit, Inc., Fred Durst, CEO. He
You imagine those meetings? They'd be hyphy.
I bet you.
What?
I bet you every single one of Fred Durst's emails has like a quote at the end from a Limp Bizkit song.
I skin your ass raw, Fred Durst. It's attributed to. Everything is fucked. Love, everybody sucks.
Love, Fred. I just want to break your fucking face tonight.
Well, look, I mean, the appeal is just so broad where it's like you have a song like Break Something where it's like, of course, it's going to appeal to like the kind of idiot that's like, hey, I feel like that too. I have those days where I don't want to wake up. Everything is fucked. Everything sucks. It's like he's reading my mind.
Oh, man. He's such a poet.
Oh, man.
I wouldn't say the lyrics exactly spoke to me like that, but I can't lie. I did enjoy the music. Or, you know, I like those three albums, and then they had that horrible, horrible piece of shit album after that.
Which one?
I don't know. It was supposed to be like one of two albums, and it was like eight tracks. It was fucking terrible.
Their concept album?
Yeah,
it was Limp Bizkit's white album. It was the brown album.
You guys should be happy to know they're getting back together and making a new album.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait. I cannot wait.
That's great news.
It's the hot dog flavored biscuit or something.
Yes.
I love watching some kind of monster where Metallica is like, I'm yeah, like, I could not believe it. I was like, really? This is their songwriting process?
What? Frantic, tick, 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 tock.
All yelling at each other while deciding which antidepressant to take.
Well, yeah. No, mostly Lars and Kirk, or Lars and James yelling at each other, but Kirk's like, hey guys, I mean, come on, let's
just
lay
make
down
music,
a track.
Man. We each
let's
are
just lay down a track, man.
What I was trying to do on this song was,
you know, it's like,
a documentary for a group like that does them no favors because it just makes me dislike them. When it's like, you guys should just be having way more fun than that.
I actually saw it at the theater that's right across the street from their studio. There's like a theater in Sausalito that's right across the street from their studio. And like, I remember just heckling the whole movie and then like about an hour in going like, well, there could very well be like one of their friends in here. Or like maybe, I don't know, one of the engineers or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
No one said anything though.
Quite possible.
They're probably all scared of me. All I know is like the movie started and they're like herding all the reporters into that like press room. And then they're like, I don't know, the press guy's like, hey, so does anyone have any questions? And I just yelled out in this little theater, yeah, is this one going to suck as bad as Reload?
Oh, and it sucked way worse.
Oh, it was way worse.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I assume Limp Bizkit came up because Fred Durst is now the director of crappy movies.
Oh, with Paul Walker in it.
That's like the, I don't know, that's some sort of amazing Jesus-inspired duo.
Yeah, it's like Ed Hardy collaborating with Kevin James.
What if Paul Walker collaborated with Paul or Kevin James and could be like the Pauls, like Paul Walker and Paul Blart? Paul versus Paul.
PvP?
PvP. Yeah.
All right, should we put this one to bed, you guys?
Let's do it.
If it means no more Limp Bizkit, then yes.
Gonna leave you with a fat lip.
Brendan, leave him with a fat lip.
I hope you have a good chin, because I'm going to leave you with a fat lip.
Yeah.
All right, Matt, you want to say anything? Anything else to say?
No, guys. Thanks. It's been a true pleasure, except for the last 20 minutes or so.
That's what they all say.
Yeah. All right. Anyone else? Vince? Ben?
No.
Sorry. I missed this one. I had one of those nights.
One of those days?
I did have one of those nights when I wanted to break stuff. I really did.
So you broke your motorcycle?
So I'm sorry I missed it. But, yeah, thanks for listening, and thanks for listening to me for the last 90 seconds or so.
All right. As always, frotcast@gmail.com. We love your submissions and your feedback. They're always really funny. So until next week, film drunkards of the world, good night and good chins.
Boom. Yo, dude,
you
thanks.
Can stop recording.
Real late over there.
Hey, thanks. I'm going to go relax a little bit.
Go to bed.